Welcome to the reflection episode on culture. We don't just live in one culture. We're part of several every day. Let me play you a family scene.
Can I say something before we start dinner?
Oh, I hear a speech coming.
Son, just listen. It's important.
I've been thinking about dinner time. That's basically our only time together during the week.
And
I don't want to lose it. I want it to be our time. But as soon as we bring our phones to the table, we're all distracted.
That's true.
Well, what's wrong with that? I'm chatting with my friends.
Exactly. You're chatting with your friends while sitting right here with us. I want us to be present and talk.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to know about your day. What was good? What wasn't?
I agree. We rarely get to talk. So let's use this hour for us.
But Dad, you always check emails at dinner. And I want to keep in touch with my friends.
You're right, honey. But I agree with your mom. We should protect this time together.
So no more email checks at dinner?
Yes, no more emails at dinner.
So let's keep this hour for us. Dinner is a phone-free zone. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. I hope my friends won't mind.
I'm pretty sure they'll survive.
This family discussed something they value. They decided to live this value by agreeing to make dinner a phone-free zone. It's just a short illustration. In reality, that discussion could run much longer, and agreement may not come as fast. But think about the teams you've worked in. How often have you sat in conversations about how you want to work together? A lot of managers still lead with the idea that declaring ways of working based on authority is going to produce the behavior they want. In the main episode called The Culture Myth, I laid out why a whole company or team culture cannot be declared into being. I explained how Edgar Schein's model gave us a better understanding of what a culture is really made of, and where leaders hold responsibility and agency to shape and protect it. If you want to learn more about it, start with the main episode. Today is about two practices that I consider to be foundational for building a good team culture. The first one is about setting norms. Every team has norms, shared expectations about how people work together. They exist even if a team never discussed and agreed to them. Shape your team's culture by defining norms with intention. The best moment for this is when a team forms, but a team that's been working together brings something a new one can't. They share a history and can speak from what they've lived through together. An open discussion makes their unspoken norms visible and helps everyone decide which ones really matter. I've run this exercise several times, and my recommendation is to plan for half a day. It's a good team-building exercise, and it saves you the conflicts that come from people acting on different assumptions about what matters in your team. Here's how to run it. Start by explaining what you want to achieve and why shared values and clear team norms matter for team culture. Then ask one question and give everyone time to answer it on their own. Which values matter most for how we work together? When everyone's finished, ask them to pick their most important value and to write it on a card. Collect all cards, including yours. Pin them somewhere everyone can see and let everyone read them before any discussion starts. Next, start around asking each team member to present their value. Let them explain why it matters to them, then let the group join the discussion. Run a second and a third round. Each person picks the next value from what they wrote. The values that get repeated belong on your shortlist. Most teams arrive at 5 to 6. There's a reason I recommend sufficient time for this, because what you have at this point is only stated values, not norms. People quickly come up with statements like, "I want us to respect each other." It's important to be honest and communicate openly. I value a team where people help each other. But what does this look like when they work together? A norm describes specific behavior. It has to be clear enough that everyone understands how it's lived. Coming to an agreement that says, "We respect each other," is too vague. You need to define how it shows. What does respect mean for your team? Let me give you 3 examples that turn "we respect each other" into norms. We respect each other's time and stick to agreed appointments and deliverables. We respect different ideas and opinions and let others voice them before we discuss. We don't talk about colleagues in a way we wouldn't in front of them. These three make we respect each other observable. Take the shortlisted values. Define three norms that tell everyone how they lived. Agree on them together, then write them down. Treat the outcome as your current version, not as written in stone. Place them somewhere everyone can access and read them anytime. Keep reviewing how the norms survive everyday interactions. Make it everyone's responsibility to protect them. Too often, people agree to norms and exclude themselves the moment they become inconvenient. Most don't even realize how easily it happens. Let's tune back into the family dinner, 2 weeks after the no-phone agreement.
And she just kept going, like nothing happened.
She didn't.
Oh, yes, she did.
That's mine. Can I just check who it is, please?
Honey, remember our agreement? This can wait, okay?
Okay.
Tell us about your day. Did the presentation go well?
Oh, yes. I was super nervous, but everyone...
Sorry, but this is important. It's work.
But
hi, David.
John...
Give me just a moment.
Guess someone just broke the agreement.
Exactly. And I'm going to check my phone now, too.
Come on, please don't.
That's what it looks like when sticking to an agreed norm becomes optional. The father decided that work comes first. Maybe it really was that important. Protecting the norm would have meant making an excuse or explaining himself to his boss. He chose not to. His daughter reacted the way most people react. She concluded that it no longer mattered. What's stated only becomes what's practiced. When it survives the moments, it costs us something. When we're under pressure and it gets uncomfortable. When an agreement is more than a promise kept only while it's easy. A norm only turns into this is how we work here when no one can exclude themselves from practicing it, including the leader. Setting your team norms takes half a day. Keeping them requires attention every day after that, which is why consistency is today's second practice. It has two halves, what you do and what you let pass. Everyone is responsible for protecting what the team agreed to, but not in the same way. Your responsibility carries more weight. Things that happen between two people should be sorted out between them. What you don't want is people calling each other out in public. Noticing what happens across the whole team is your responsibility. When you let a behavior pass in front of everyone, it gets read as acceptable, regardless of what the norm says. Many leaders underestimate the spotlight they're under and what they're measured against. Norms get set, but then we overlook how often they get broken and don't protect them enough. Or worse, we break them ourselves without even noticing. Both weaken people's trust, letting norm-breaking behavior pass and breaking a norm ourselves. We all do it at some point. The best way to guard against it is to train ourselves in consistency. Consistent in what? Protecting the defined norms is part of it, but your team observes far more than that. Edgar Schein named the six actions that carry the most weight. What we pay attention to and measure. How we react when something goes wrong. The way we allocate resources. What we deliberately model and teach. What gets punished or rewarded. And who we promote, hire, and let go. That's the spotlight leaders are under. And we rarely acknowledge the importance of building consistency around these actions. The first action of what you pay attention to and measure is about everything you notice in front of your team. The questions you ask, what you comment on, the things you openly care about. Imagine someone interrupts a colleague who's sharing a different opinion, and you say nothing. You may not approve of it, but if you stay silent, everyone quietly takes note and assumes you find it acceptable. That's how fast a norm like we respect different ideas and opinions gets weakened. Once, twice, culture. It's your responsibility to stop behaviors that go against your team norms. Consistency also matters for what you measure. This is not just about performance metrics, but what you look at beyond them. If you say learning is part of how you measure progress, but rarely talk about or invest into it, it becomes a footnote. Make it a regular element of your team meetings. Talk about what everyone learned, including yourself. Spend time in shared learning sessions. That's what makes learning something you really measure. The second action is about your response to mistakes and failures. That news sparks a reaction before you've said a word. Most of us can't stay poker-faced. And if your face gives away information anyway, it's better to tell people upfront what to expect from you. If you're not sure what comes across, ask the people who know you well and are willing to tell you. That's how you become predictable. And the most important move is to ask what happened before you ask why. Why puts people on the defensive? What happened opens up the situation. Once you've understood the situation, you can explore why it happened and who can help find the answers. The goal is consistency in how you handle these moments. A clear expectation of how you respond is what makes it feel safe for people to come to you. The third action is resource allocation. Which resource do you think your team watches most closely? It's your time invested in them. If you say you invest in developing your team, but keep pushing back the time you blocked for it, the message is clear. What we protect under pressure is what really matters. Everything else is optional. The practice of consistency is to decide in advance how you plan to allocate your time and to protect it as best you can. The same applies to any other resource you control. Plan how to allocate it and protect the plan. What we model and teach is the fourth action. I often call it walk the talk. The father at the dinner table failed exactly here. Leadership is modeling behavior. The moment you want others to follow your lead, your own behavior sets the benchmark. Being open about our own mistakes is one of the best examples. Managers ask their teams to admit mistakes and often don't do it themselves. The vulnerability that comes along with it makes many think it weakens their position. It actually does the opposite. The moment you're open about what you got wrong, you lower the barrier for everyone else to do the same. Doing it consistently builds psychological safety. Let's connect this example also to the fifth action, what we punish or reward. You decide whether admitting a mistake gets punished or rewarded. When it comes to team culture, it matters that you do it in front of everyone. Thanking someone for telling you in a one-to-one teaches only them that they don't get punished. Unless they talk about it with someone else, the rest of your team has no idea how that conversation went. Recognition is a form of reward. One-to-one, it means something to the person. In front of the team, it teaches everyone what you reward. You can acknowledge the behavior without putting the mistake on display. Say something like, "We caught this risk early because John came to me straight away." A simple acknowledgement of the right behavior, and everyone else knows mistakes don't get punished. Admitting them early earns recognition. The sixth action is about who you hire, promote, and let go. These are the decisions your team observes very carefully because they show how you select. Consistency here means that people can connect your decisions to what you state as selection criteria. Those criteria have to be transparent and fair. They can't contradict your agreed norms. But many teams experience exactly that. For example, high performers who don't fit but get excused because they deliver. The cost of their behavior is never accounted for, so they consistently exclude themselves from what the team agreed to. And every time a manager lets it pass, the team learns that the norms come with flexibility. That's how one person becomes a team culture problem, which makes it a leader's responsibility to be clear that performance is not the only thing that matters. Team norms apply to everyone. Making this visible in all your hiring and promotion decisions is what builds consistency and trust. I know six actions is a lot to work on at once. Moving forward should always feel manageable. If you're forming a new team, or if your team is running on norms nobody ever discussed or agreed to, start by defining them. If you've done this already, check whether the norms need an update. The second practice doesn't need the first to be completed. Pick the two of the six actions where you're least sure of yourself. Maybe it's how you react to problems or what you punish and reward. Pick two and watch how you act on those for the next 2 weeks. Then take the next two. That's how we build awareness. And awareness comes before consistency. One last thing on why leading culture matters even more right now. AI adoption is a culture transformation. We're asking people to work in new ways, with a technology hardly anyone fully understands. We're doing it while headlines tell us AI can replace most jobs. No one can brush aside the anxiety this creates, but you can decide how you handle AI adoption. The same way you define team norms, you can define how your team works with AI, what to use it for, what not to use it for, how to share what's working and what's not. The other part is your modeling behavior again, how you use it yourself and how openly you talk about it, whether you reward fast adoption over finding the best way to work with it, and how you react when something goes wrong. That's culture work applied to AI. It determines how your team navigates this workplace transformation. Norms tell your team what they agree to. Consistency is what builds trust over time. And what you let pass teaches people what really matters. Once, twice, culture. It's in your hands to lead culture with intention. That's it for today. In the next episode, we'll look at decision-making and accountability. Both have become even more challenging now that AI is part of our work. If you enjoy this podcast, share it with others. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I really enjoy the exchange with my audience. Meanwhile, stay curious, stay tuned. Thanks for tuning into the New Work Playbook, where work is better because people matter.